morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David. We've been talking about morality this week, that there is a right and wrong. I believe I've established that there is a right and a wrong. The Bible teaches that there are absolute truths about morality, that some things are wrong no matter what opinion people might have or a culture might have. Hitler was wrong even if everyone agreed with him. It's not that people agree that Hitler was wrong that makes him wrong. It would be wrong no matter how many people agreed. Okay, so what he did and his thinking and the things that he tried to accomplish during World War II, it was wrong, period. It's not based on opinion. All right, we've looked at this other view that says, no, morals are relative. You have your opinion, I have my opinion. Who's to say what's right and wrong? And what I'm exposing as we move through this week is that when you ask that question, who's to say what's right and wrong, you are reflecting an atheistic position. It is the position that atheists must hold to, and it is the position, really, that a lot of people who would say, well, I believe there's a God, yet you don't really make the connection that the existence of God means there is someone to say what's right and wrong. We have a growing number of people who think morals are relative, morals are a matter of opinion and preference, and that is a denial of God's existence. So let's first talk about the atheist position. Atheists must say that morals are relative. Now, that doesn't mean that they do. They won't admit it. But if they're going to be rational, if they're going to be consistent with their own beliefs, you have to say that morals are relative. Now, atheists get around this a couple different ways. They will say, for instance, that that morality is a evolutionary thing, that people have evolved a sense of morals, not that they are real morals, but there is a sense of morality because it helps our species thrive and survive and outlive other species that don't have such a sense of morality. Here's the problem with that. Number one, it's an admission that there is no true morality. Any kind of feeling we have that there is a right and a wrong is just that. It's a feeling produced by chemicals in our brain, produced by chance and natural selection, and it's not based on anything that's actually factually true. Okay, so that is admitting the position, and I just can't accept that. I can't accept that my belief that killing 6 million Jews in horrific ways in the Holocaust is wrong, that that's just a feeling that's the result of chance and natural selection and chemicals in my brain. No, I know that it really is wrong, and the Bible says God has given us a conscience to know some things are absolutely wrong. They're not a matter of opinion. They're not just, it's not a feeling that it's wrong. It really is wrong. So evolutionists will try that, but here's the other problem. How does evolution, how does natural selection explain how we could get this feeling of right and wrong? Natural selection doesn't have a goal in mind. Natural selection isn't trying to create well-behaved human beings. Natural selection isn't a person. It's just the forces of nature that weed out the weak links. And how is that going to favor, certain beings, initially to have brains that form a certain way to think of morality? I just can't understand how that mechanism would work, that natural selection working on some kind of primitive man could create a man that has this sense of morals. There's just really no mechanism to explain how you get there. It sounds like a possibility, but when you actually start getting down to the specifics of how that would happen, it becomes very difficult. But I just don't think it's possible anyway, because morals are absolute. We all know it. God has put that in our heart. Now, I'm not saying that morals, that atheists are bad people. Atheists can live according to morality. Atheists can follow the rules of society. I'm not saying, well, if you're an atheist, why don't you just go out and kill a bunch of people? Well, there are a lot of reasons why you wouldn't do that. You might not enjoy doing that. You don't want to get in trouble with the law for doing that. And any number of reasons like that. But it can't be because you believe that it is absolutely wrong to commit murder. It has to be because you think that it's advantageous to you to not murder, or you might think that it's good for our society to not murder. I don't really know why you would particularly think that advancing our society is a good thing, but maybe you're into that, you like that, that's your preference. then yes, you can follow morality. But you cannot believe in moral absolutes, because who's to say that your morality or that our culture's morality is right or wrong? Here's another view that comes out. Some people will say, well, our culture has developed a sense of morality and we teach it to our children, and so we grow up being conditioned to think about morality as being real and out there, and that's why we have this sense of morality. Well, again, that's a denial that morality is absolute. If our culture has one way of thinking about morality and the Nazi Germans have another way of thinking about morality, who's to say who's right and wrong? Here's a favorite of mine, Sam Harris, who's a leading atheist. He tries to get around this problem by saying that there are moral absolutes. You don't need a God to explain moral absolutes. You just need a guiding principle of morality. And so his guiding principle is whatever makes life thrive, that is what is good and right. Whatever hinders life from thriving, that is wrong. And so we all just intuitively know this, and this is our basis of morality, and it is a real principle. It's not just opinion. And so what Nazi Germany did, you know, that did not help life thrive, so that was wrong. Of course, I got to tell you, Hitler would argue that what he was doing was going to help his race, at least, or the Aryan race, thrive more, that it was the Jews who were hindering the human race. So, you know, from his perspective, he was helping life thrive, but he was still wrong. See, these are the kind of things that you get into when you start having a standard of right and wrong that comes from something other than God. And at the heart of the problem, you know, I don't see how life thriving could be the center of morality. Who's to say that life thriving is a good thing? If this universe is nothing but, you know, matter that has come about by pure chance, with certain physical laws that have come about by chance, working on that matter, where life has come about by pure chance on this tiny speck of a planet around one star that's a speck of dust in a sea of galaxies, how could it matter that life thrive? Who's to say that that's something more important than life not thriving? No, it's all arbitrary. It's all just guesswork. It's all meaningless if there is no God. And so it all comes back to, again, that any atheist who thinks that there are moral absolutes is not being consistent with their belief. An atheist can live by morality, but they have to see that they're just living by morality that they want to live by. It's not absolute morality. But all of us, including atheists, I believe, deep down know that there are things that are right and wrong. When you are mistreated, you know it's wrong. If someone comes up and punches you in the face for no reason, if someone grabs you out of your car, throws you on the street, some stranger you've never met before, gets in your car and takes off in your car, you know it's wrong. And you know it's not just your opinion that it's wrong or just your culture's view that it's wrong. When someone mistreats you, you know that it is wrong. And this proves the whole atheistic worldview wrong. And it's not just the atheist. Like I said, there are many people who will say, yeah, I believe in God. But do you believe in a God who is in charge of this universe, who is the creator of this universe, and therefore the owner of this universe, therefore the rightful judge of this universe, who is a lawgiver, who has given us laws and has given us the ability to know that there are laws, that there are rights and wrong. The fact that we all know deep down that there is a right and wrong should tell us that not only does God exist, but God is a lawgiver who will hold us accountable to his standards. And we will have to face him one day. And this should totally change our outlook on life. The most important thing that we should want more than anything else in life is to be right with that God, to meet his standard, to be acceptable to him. We all know that this is true. It is plain to us. Romans 1 talks about this. And so the question is, how do we get right with God? And the Bible says the only way that we who have broken God's laws can be right with him is by receiving the free gift of righteousness that God offers us through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus. If you have any questions about today's program, the number to call is 943-8237. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.